to you by GN and Co.
Sure, gang, hey, welcome back to yet another episode of After School is After School with your girl, Sis G.U. To my returning listeners, I hope that you guys are well at home. And to those that are passing by or right, I hope you like what you see and you join their gang, hey, please. I hope you like what you see and you join their gang, hey, please. I hope you, what you, hey, you join their gang, hey, please. Okay, hey, Candace is a vibe and she's inside. I like Candace is a vibe and she's inside. Yes! Guys, as you guys can see, I am definitely not alone on my couch today. I have Candace Chirwa, who is known as the Minister of Menstruation.
Period.
Per. I am so excited to be able to have a conversation with her today. I'm actually going to start with where we met.
Yes.
Yeah, now I'm like, I'm going to start with a minute long. We met, it was at a function. Yes. It was at a school activation. Yes. I want to say
Varsity College.
Varsity College. I had been brought on by a brand and then I met Candace, and Candace is tackling all of the questions. She's educating the youth.
Yeah.
She's normalizing conversations about period, about period poverty, about reproductive, or like your everything.
Everything
that we need to know, I feel like we're going to talk to her about today. But without further ado, how are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah. You're looking so good.
You look amazing. I was literally about to say, you look so nice.
You look good. I don't know what you need to tell me.
Thanks. No, I don't. But thank you. It's good to see you.
Thank you.
Let's
spill the tea.
Okay.
Chat about it. Let's just rip off the band-aid.
So, at this thing that we met.
Yes.
At this function.
Yes.
You had spoken about, in passing, about a, for lack of a better word right now, I'm going to call it a condition. You had spoken about a condition that I did not know.
Okay.
That I suffered from.
Mm.
So you spoke about it.
Okay.
And as you were speaking about it, I was like, this kind of sounds like
what you go through.
What I go through.
Right.
And I had thought it was normal. And you, the first thing you said was like, that's not normal. Yeah. And I said, oh, okay, cool. So after that, went to my gynae. I've been dealing with it for the whole year.
Sure.
Just trying to, like, you know, deal with the diagnosis, what the treatment is, all of it. And that's PCOS.
Oh, girl.
Yeah.
Girl.
I think it blew my mind that I did not know what it was.
But you were going through the symptoms and you were living through it, and then you sort of normalized it, right? Say,
maybe it's not that bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, literally like, oh, yeah, my period is not consistent. Yes, I jump a month. Yes, I, you know, like all of these things. And I was like, okay, I have the hair growth. I thought a girl just hairy, you know what I'm saying? So I was like, kind of normal. And the more you spoke, the more I was like, no, this is something that I actually really have to look into and understand more of.
Exactly, yeah.
So I think that's when you left an impression on me. Because I was like, girl, had you not come, had you not spoken, I promise you, till this day, I think I would have
just lived silently with it.
Silently. That's
exactly.
I would have lived silently with it and just thought it was normal. And you were like, no, it's not. So just from that conversation alone and you introducing me to PCOS, I want to talk about you being the Minister of Menstruation.
Yes.
Love the title.
Thank you.
How'd you come up with it?
Listen, it was actually a friend of mine who's a guy who gave me the title.
Okay.
He was pretty much saying, you know, I do all this work around menstrual health education. I think for those that don't know, Minister of Menstruation, I actually have a NGO called Curate. So we do menstrual health education workshops in the country. And we educate young people to feel normal around their periods, to feel empowered. But most importantly, to just feel like, okay, if my period comes, I feel positive towards it.
Yes.
Because I think with my first period, my first period was scary.
When was your first period?
I was 10. I was 10.
That's like young.
That is very young.
That's young.
Puberty started very early for me.
Okay.
And for me, what was scary was that, because remember, what happens with menstruation is the last stage of puberty. So your hips will develop, your hips will widen, your breasts will develop. And I was already seeing these things happen, but I just didn't know what was going on because no one had that conversation with me.
Yes.
And when my period came, I remember coming from home experiencing really intense tummy cramps. And I'm like, what is this? I wipe and I just see blood. And all I remember is just taking a lot of tissue and wrapping it around the middle part of my underwear. And I just hid in my room, waited for my mom to come. And I just said, I'm bleeding. And I think she could tell, okay, this is happening.
Yes.
But what I didn't appreciate, and as much as I love you, mom, what I didn't appreciate about the conversation is, you know when those parents sit you down across from the table, you know, you're sitting there, they're sitting there, they're having a deep conversation with you as if you burnt the Tupperware.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like you did something wrong. Like you're in
trouble.
It's
giving full name.
Do you know what I'm saying?
It's not your nickname. They're not kicking with you.
Yeah. That was the tone of the conversation around my period.
I get it.
Over my a natural biological function, right?
Yes.
And I guess that's what inspired me then to just say, why do we not eradicate that completely? Because research does show that when young girls start their period in South Africa, they feel like they're going to die for the first time, or they feel like they have a disease.
Yes.
So we fill in that gap and we say, let's remove that stigma and let's just celebrate it. So that's what the Minister of Menstruation is about, outside of just like the educational part. It's also the empowerment part of saying, let's talk normally about this.
Yes.
You know, if you're experiencing something that you feel is not normal, but you've been quiet for so long because society conditions you to be quiet around your period, talk about it, right? Outside of PCOS, there are so many people I think who can relate to living with very intense and debilitating period pain, not knowing that they might have endometriosis.
Not knowing something could be done.
Exactly, right? So talking openly about it, seeking some form of empowerment, seeking some form of like just companionship as well to say what you're going through, not to say it's not normal, but you should get some form of help, is really empowering.
Yeah.
And that's what the Minister of Menstruation is about.
Life-changing, really. You're right. I feel like there's a lot of shame as a woman when you start to bleed and you experience all these things and you're like, oh my goodness, my body's not working normally.
Yeah.
Like everybody else is floating through this, and like that's not the case at all.
But let's also talk about period ads. Okay.
Yes.
Do you not see some ads where people be shaking and always happy? You know which one I'm talking about. Don't act like y'all don't know.
They are in the classroom. They start dancing. They're jumping.
Up in the down. Tightest of 100%,
100%.
And they are so happy.
Yes.
And do you not feel like then you can't relate?
100%, because that's not what my period looks like.
Exactly.
At all.
You feel like you missed the invitation to the party. This is the period party. You've missed the invitation. You have not arrived, but you're instead on your couch
literally,
with your hot water bottle.
Literally.
And your different types of painkillers.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And you're just relaxing and sleeping and trying to recover. And so when you then see young men or boys watch these things on TV, and then you would see a Google in office be like, oh, my period pain's very intense. They'll be like, girl, stop lying. Because what I saw on TV
is not what...
It's a happy-go-lucky time.
100%, you're lying. You're lazy.
The misrepresentation is very dangerous in that regard, because then you don't actually understand what we go through. Mm-hmm. The hormonal fluctuations that impact our symptoms that can either be debilitating, that we can't just go about our social economic activities, right? So for me, outside of just like, let's talk about our periods, I also push for corporates and the advertising space to look at periods differently.
Yes.
I also tell government that we need period paid leave, because it can't be that I'm going
please,
to work.
No, please repeat it though.
Period.
Paid.
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 Leave.
Thank you. Yes.
That thing.
And you know what? I think you're right, because when people hear like, oh, you want period paid leave, it's like, okay, but your period isn't that bad of a time. It's not that deep. It's not that serious. You're not feeling that much pain. You should be able to go about your day. And I remember like there was a time on Twitter where I used to just, every time I was on my period, I had Twitter fingers. You know when you are just, you're sad. My period, low key, can like trigger some of my depression. Like that's how bad my hormonal imbalance is, my emotions.
Do you experience it before your period and during your period?
Yes.
And do you mostly feel so intense levels of suicidal ideation or depression?
I'm not going to lie. There are some times when I can deal with like suicidal ideation.
Ideation.
But for the most part, almost every period, it's depression.
Yes.
100%. I know we cry, but I cry. Like, I am easily triggered. I'm oversensitive. I'm all of these things, but obviously, like, I think I know how to deal with it. So only if you're in my life and in my space do you really know what I'm feeling.
Exactly.
But I obviously push forward and go about work, because who's going to pay us when we don't show up at the end of the day? But yeah, on Twitter, I kind of went through this phase where I was just like, every time I'm on my period, I have Twitter fingers because I'm sad.
Yes.
I'm just tweeting, I am miserable. I am in pain. I want this. I want that. There are so many things. And I remember seeing the reception. What actually made me stop was the reception to those tweets.
What?
A lot of men made me feel like I shouldn't be talking about something of that nature publicly because it's very personal and it's blood. And, you know, it doesn't seem too, like, hygienic. Like, TMI, Google, keep that to yourself. Whereas, obviously, the women were very much like, girl, same. Like, oh, my goodness, yeah. Use this, whatever, whatever. And I think in those comments, I was able to find things that really did work for me and helped me at the time. But I think I had a lot of, I'd internalized the shame. I was just like, okay, maybe I am bleeding. And, like, the world doesn't need to know that.
The world needs to know that.
And I think the world does deserve to know.
100%.
I think however someone chooses to go about their period is literally their business.
Exactly, because it's your period, right? But what I also do find very funny is when men are like, we don't need to know when you're on your period, please.
Yes.
It's like, but yeah, it's not your period, it's mine. Right? So
100%.
How I choose to either tell people about it or how I choose to share information about it is my decision because I go through this phase, right?
Yeah.
There's a specific user.
Yes.
On Twitter. Called @beloved_of_god.
Yes.
Everyone knows that tweet because he has over 10 million impressions.
Yes.
Where he said, we don't need to know when you're on your period. And everyone who menstruates then decided to say, okay, if that's the case, every month
I'm going to
be getting notifications. And that's what people have been doing.
Good.
Because, I mean, who's to say that? Who are you to say that we should?
Also, why
are you policing us also?
Why govern our speech when it comes to the anatomy of our body and the things we go through? Also,
exactly.
If there's like freedom of speech and people can share anything. And I can say, if I was depressed purely because I'm depressed, like that's more socially acceptable because like, I guess you're talking about your emotions, Google, it's fine. But if I'm saying I'm going through a depressive episode because I'm on my period.
Because my hormones are fluctuating.
Waiting up and down.
That I don't have control over. Right. It's not like I'm there just tweet. No, it's my hormones. I have no control over it.
I have no control.
None whatsoever.
So, yeah, I think that's, yeah, I'd internalized the shame and it was a very weird space for me. And again, I think going to that gig that we went to and just seeing you be like, y'all bleeding, y'all not bleeding? Like, what you want to know about bleeding? What you want to know about the vagina?
Exactly.
What you want to know? I was like,
But we got a lot of questions around, is it normal?
Yes.
Right? And I think it's really important to like sort of address that. But I think the myth, like to close this off, the myth around why we shouldn't be speaking openly about our periods is that association that our period blood is dirty.
Yes.
Right? And just to address it,
yes,
our period
please.
Blood is not dirty.
Yes.
Okay? Our period blood is essentially, I guess, how do I explain this? I wish I had that like do lift elevator music.
What are you explaining?
So pretty much what sheds during our period is the uterine lining, right?
Yes.
The uterine lining gets thick.
Okay.
In the preparation for the egg to be fertilized.
Yes.
If the egg's not fertilized,
no
then
egg.
The egg and the uterine lining sheds.
Yes.
So this, if the egg happened to be fertilized, you get pregnant and you have a baby. So that's where the baby would grow. So that's a safe environment. You can't have a dirty endometrium and lining.
Growing a whole child.
So your period blood's not dirty.
Yes.
And if someone
says that
because please send them my way.
Yeah.
I'll deal with them adequately. Yeah.
Yeah, I think also, again, men is where I have experienced the most amount of backlash. And it's so interesting because I just feel like they speak out of not knowing.
Yes, 100%.
And men believe in like this herd mentality. So like one guy says something and it's like, okay, no, but the boy said. And it's like, your boy knows absolutely nothing about anything. But on the topic of you clearing that period blood is not dirty.
Yeah.
I do want to talk about period sex.
Let's get into it.
Because.
In a chat, please add some. Love and gay. Let's get it on.
You know what I'm saying? Add the vibe.
Hey, look.
Get a suit. Where
get
we
some
got
candles.
To go.
Get a towel.
Yeah.
Get comfortable.
So, period sex.
Yeah.
I was introduced to the idea in varsity. So, obviously.
The face you pulled. The idea. And she was like, ish.
Yeah, because I was really introduced. Yeah. I was like, what is this? What is happening?
Okay.
I had always been under the assumption that when you're on your period, you do nothing. Like,
sure.
I think I had just been that person. So, it wasn't even a question. It wasn't a thought. I was like, whatever. Cool. Obviously, now you're in varsity.
Yes.
You're talking to people, they're talking to you.
Yes.
You're talking to your friends, they're telling you they're like, oh no, friend, but I, you know what I'm saying? I was able to have a good time personally.
Yes.
And that shook me.
Okay.
Because I think I had also, because of the high school I went to, literally no shade to the high school, but like the boys that I was surrounded by, the idea of your period blood blood being dirty was something that was just so normalized. So I was kind of like, okay, no, I don't think it's like clean. Okay. I don't think it's safe for me to be doing that, right? Mm-hmm. But all my friends that are engaging, obviously not mentioning any names, yes. Maybe I'm not friends with these people anymore, so y'all don't know who I'm talking about.
Love and light.
Please. but they were like, to be quite frank, they were having a time
of their lives.
Of their lives.
Yes.
I actually had a friend at the time who preferred to engage in sex when she's on.
Do you not find yourself period. A little bit frisky? More frisky on your period?
A little bit.
Hey?
Yeah.
Yes.
A lot more. And I think that's because the hormones is moving up and down.
Exactly.
Left and right.
100%.
But I think I had learned to suppress it. I was kind of like, I'm feeling these things, but I'm not really allowed to do anything. Fair. So... now, obviously, that I'm older and people can engage, and you spoke about laying down a towel and whatnot. Mm. What is like a, I want to say, your go-to things to know about if you are going to engage?
Do period cloth love.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, I love that. She said period cloth love. I don't even want to, she doesn't have to say
a
lot.
When you're doing the period cloth love, it's a cloth cloth. Because your menstrual blood. Frankly.
Yes.
No need for, I guess you could still engage in foreplay, but your menstrual blood is a natural lubricant, right? So if you're ready to go,
you're good to go.
Okay. But I do think what's really important, especially if you're engaging in penetrative sex, have that conversation with your partner, right? And also debunk the myths, because I think a lot of men would assume that the blood, right, would have an impact on their PP.
Yes.
No, it won't.
Yeah.
Your blood will be fine. Your PP will be fine.
Yes.
Okay. Also, I think when you're having these conversations, understand that there are a lot of benefits for the menstruator as soon as they engage in period cloth cloth, right? One of them being...
y'all hearing that?
If you are lucky, you know, if you orgasm.
Yes.
The relief...
she's laughing.
I said if, because...
woo,
because
she said if you're lucky, if you're chosen.
If you... hey.
Hey.
But, you know... you will have a relief of your period symptoms.
Okay.
In particular, pain.
Yes.
Your flow will be much lighter.
Okay.
If you experience any form of like headaches, any form of brain fog, whatever symptoms you experience, it's been reported that a lot of people feel the relief of those symptoms as soon as the period cloth cloth is done. Why? Because orgasm, relief, endorphins, it's just a good, happy release, and it releases the happy hormone. Period symptoms are good, right? Mm-hmm. So beyond just having the conversation, also research the benefits, but also research in particular the positions that you would feel comfortable in engaging. Because what you would do normally without your period, I don't think you would do with your period, because you just need to think about, okay, if we are doing certain positions, do we have to put a towel down? Mm. If we're maybe comfortable doing it in the shower, make sure you have a really good grip, because it can get a bit slippery.
Yeah.
You know? So just having those conversations and researching it is so important. But I always just say that it's like also a great opportunity to be even more intimate with your partner, connecting and discovering this whole different like situation. It's you, your boo thing, and now on flow.
Yes.
You know, it's three's the party.
Yes.
Don't quote me on that.
Yes.
But I think it is really liberating. Mm. And you know, I think I'm always just the person to say, if you never try, you'll never know.
Yeah.
And if you're worried about, is there going to be a smell? Your period blood does not smell. Mm-hmm. The only sort of smell you associate with your period blood is a metallic smell. But oftentimes when people say they smell their period blood, it's purely because of the period product that they use, right?
Okay.
So if you're using a disposable pad that contains plastic and bleached cotton, and it's in between your thighs, humid environment with blood, there will be a smell.
Yes.
But if you use a menstrual cup, a period underwear, you won't smell anything. And if you're worried about a small drink, period cloth cloth, this is a great time to be intimate. Light up your scented candles, play some music.
Yes.
Just take it as a time to explore.
Mm.
It really is liberating, and I've definitely engaged in it, and it definitely assists with the symptoms.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I've never heard someone... okay, I actually have one from this friend who was really about it.
Yeah.
And I think... looking back at it now, she'd always just say she'd feel better.
Yes.
Like afterwards.
So much better.
So I think that's why she was just like, ah, about my period. I'm going through some things. I'm going to do something about it right now.
Of course.
And I think it also spoke to the kind of partner she had.
Yes.
Because you're right in that it needs to be a conversation. It needs to be something that you're both open to.
100%.
You need to feel comfortable sharing that part of yourself, I guess, in that time of the month with someone else, which can be like very tricky.
It can be. Yeah. I've read really interesting stories. There's a time when I used to read like Reddit stories about like, am I the asshole situation? And one of the stories that this girl said was that, am I the asshole for making my husband sleep on the couch because he doesn't want to sleep with me when I'm on my period?
I'm like, hold up.
Pump the brakes.
Because is she?
Pump the brakes. Why? Because she changed her period product. She didn't want to be on a disposable pad. She wanted to use a tampon.
Yes.
And when he discovered that, it just shook him because he thought the blood would just leak out onto the bed and it will creep up all over him and then suffocate him and then he'll die. So he decided to sleep on the couch. And he said, because you're using a tampon, I'm going to sleep on the couch. So she was asking the community, am I
crazy?
Is it me?
Because I decided to use a tampon.
For my own...
my period. I decided to change products and my husband is having a hissy fit.
Imagine.
And sleeping on the couch.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Because the blood is going to...
This is your husband now.
This is your husband.
There's nothing you can do but other than just educate him to say, a tampon will not leak. I have to remove it after 8 hours. Mm-hmm. 8 hours is how long we sleep. Mm-hmm. Like, it really won't have an impact on you.
Yes.
So this is why menstrual education is so important to be inclusive, right? Because the other day I was on... Do we call it Twitter or X?
Yeah, you know, I refuse to, like, accept that it's X.
It's Twitter.
Like, Twitter.
That app.
Yes.
And someone shared a picture of her boyfriend asking for what the right pad would be, right?
Yeah.
The funniest thing was like, he took a picture and he was like, is this a size 5 for the pussy? And I'm like, hold on, size 5. I'm like,
out of everything, I thought you were going to say, I was not expecting that for the pussy. Like,
wait, what do you mean, does he know size 5? What was he thinking, medium to heavy flow?
Literally.
And the fact that he was like, size 5, I was like, okay, so yes. Vaginas have different
sizes. Yes.
So she was just like, you know what? She was just like, just get that one.
100%.
I'll talk to you about it later.
Like, I can't even explain over text what you're asking me. Please get the pads.
I'm so curious.
Come home.
What do men think like the different colors or the different flows mean? You know what I'm saying? Like when men walk past the aisle, they're like, oh, that yellow, what does it mean? It's lemon.
Yeah.
Oh, that pink, do they mean it's strawberry? You know what I'm saying?
And literally when it's small, is it giving that the coochie's small?
Small, you know what I'm saying?
Like it's medium, it's large. It's like, what is...
What is it?
Yeah.
So you see, this is why boys, gents,
yes,
it's so important to learn about these things.
100%.
And it's also the same thing where I just chat about like, when you are dating someone who is menstruating, understand that our periods are not the same, right? So you menstruate differently. You would have different symptoms to that. I would. Mm. But when you're dating someone, the intimacy and care is very different, right? There'll be moments where you'll be like, okay, to be honest, day one, day two, I need you with me.
Yes.
Day three, day four, please. I'm good, right? But it could change from month to month because, again, if we are on, let's say, hormonal contraception and it's treating us differently or we're having a really bad month, the care shows up differently. So men shouldn't just assume that every month they should just send money.
Send money. Literally send money.
Send it. But like sometimes ask.
100%.
Just be like, babe, I see that your period is coming.
Yes.
What do you need this month?
Yeah, I think
like,
that would
how do you want me to show up?
The most to me. Like, how would you like for me to show up in this period today? And obviously some days it's different. It's like, today I need you to do A, B, C, D.
Yes.
And then tomorrow. And then tomorrow, like, I need space. So I really like that, understanding that a period will impact you differently at different times.
Yes.
And it doesn't have to look the same, and that's okay.
Yes.
Earlier.
Yes.
Before you mentioned the lady who had the situation with the tampon, you spoke about menstrual cups, which I want to talk about because I feel like they're failing you in comparison to other sanitary items that we have.
Yes.
Do you rate it? What are your feelings about it?
Okay. So I will definitely put like my menstrual activist cap on, right? I genuinely feel that it depends on the person menstruating and the circumstances that you live in, right? Because what we need to realize is that in this country that we live in Cyril's country, not a lot of people have access to water, right? We do need a lot of access to water when we're on our period, especially when we change our products, we need to wash our hands. But if we are using reusable products, they are heavy water items. Mm-hmm. So whether it's period underwear, whether it's a menstrual cup, whether it's a reusable pad, mm-hmm. you are going to need a lot of water. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing with the menstrual cup is that a lot of people enjoy it because it's a small little thing that you fold in,
yes.
you insert like a tampon, uh-huh. and it lasts anywhere between 6 to 12 hours.
Yes.
It lasts for 5 years, as in you can keep it for up to 5 years. Mm-hmm. It's not in your vagina for up to yes. 5 years, but you can keep it, right? Mm-hmm. And it's made out of medical grade silicone, so it's not harmful to you and it's not harmful to your body.
Okay.
Because what a lot of people tend to forget is that one small tampon that has plastic and bleached toxins, you know, if you wear it for longer than 8 hours, it can stick to the walls of your yes. vagina, and then that can just cause a lot of things, yes. right? But with the menstrual cup, it's safe to use. Mm-hmm. But then I always raise the question to say, okay, outside of the water issue, mm-hmm. what if you have someone who has a condition called vaginismus?
Yes.
Essentially, right. So you yeah. can't insert anything, yeah. right? You will need a lot of bit of like therapy and medical assistance with that. Mm-hmm. But then what if you have someone who menstruates and they're disabled? Mm-hmm. So they can't really use a menstrual cup, right? Yes. Period underwear might be the easiest thing to do because everyone wears underwear, mm-hmm. right? And so it's different. It's different strokes for different folks.
Yeah.
Personally, because I am a menstrual activist, I use different period product items.
Okay.
But I genuinely love mm-hmm. the period underwear.
Okay.
Love it.
Okay. Please also explain to me period underwear, because this is the first time I'm hearing of that myself. What is it?
So underwear?
Yes.
The gusset area
is
has absorbable material, 3 layers of it.
Yes.
Collects and traps your blood. So you don't have to wear any other period product. Uh-huh. If you want to a tampon or a cup, but you can just wear the period underwear.
Uh-huh.
Absorbs your blood.
Uh-huh.
Blood won't leak. And you're good to go. You just wash it with water.
And that's it.
That's it.
And you keep it moving, you keep it pushing.
Yep.
And also you spoke a bit earlier to the fact that sometimes your menstrual blood itself doesn't smell.
Yes.
It's when you're using the products such as maybe a tampon that yes. has other things that are associated in its make that now make a smell. Like, so
exactly.
I'm liking the idea of a period panty because it's just flowing.
It's just flowing.
Also, yeah. that's a question. I've seen TikTok speak to the fact that if you don't use something,
you're free bleeding,
you might bleed for a shorter amount of time.
Okay.
More so than what you would if you're using a product. Okay. And that your flow might end up being lighter because you bleed heavily on your first and second day and might finish again.
Sure.
Yeah.
I guess it depends on people's menstrual cycle as well. I think there's dangers that lie in social media, and that people can be very prescriptive as to how your period should be.
Yes.
There was this has been the year of people fighting on periods. But I remember that this year there's this lady who was like, you should not have your period at all. Having your period is oppressive. Your period isn't natural.
Oh.
And because she'd been on a contraceptive, she hasn't had her period for 7 years.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
Respectfully, people were like, no, this isn't the case. You know, mm-hmm. people have different things. People have different experiences with contraceptions. And I remember how people started tagging me because they're like, Minister, what is your opinion?
We need you.
Oh, was I not called a Joe Rogan and Andrew Tate of periods? I was like, what?
How does someone even come up with that as a comparison?
Because I was like, what you're not going to do is dictate experiences that are not the same. I've been on 3 different types of the pulls, yes. right? And sure, my period came consistently.
Mm-hmm.
But my experience of my period from mm-hmm. a symptomatic point of view mm-hmm. was horrific.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on the copper IUD. Yes. I have my period consistently and I'm fine.
Yes.
There are people who get the patch or yes. the injection, and obviously after about a year, they won't see their period, mm-hmm. but maybe that's what they want.
Yes.
You know, because they just can't deal with their period.
With the period, yeah.
There are people who are disabled who have to take the injection because yeah. they can't take care of themselves on their period.
Yes.
But we can't just always say that our periods are not natural and it's a way to suppress us. It's like, no, our periods are a natural biological function.
For sure.
The same to sneezing, the same to going to the bathroom. That's what it is.
Yes.
So let's not be dictatorial. So with the free bleeding movement, I know why they do it, because they're saying that the whole conversation around period products being too expensive is something that we need to be chatting about.
For sure.
A pad or a packet of pads is an essential item, mm-hmm. right? And this is why I get so passionate about passionate about ending period poverty.
Yes.
Because in Cyril's economy.
Yes.
Cyril?
Mm-hmm.
If you come from a household where you're living on the 350 grant, because he loves talking about the 350 grant.
Like it's going to do much for the people in his country.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
If we look about how much milk is.
Yes.
How much.
When you add everything together.
Everything. And you're in a household of like 4 or 5, mm-hmm. right? And then you have to factor in transport for school, yes. The pad is the last thing. It's considered a luxury item, and in fact, it's an essential item.
Yes.
So that's why you'll have a lot of free bleeders to say, let's end period poverty and make these period products free. But I've never really gone into like the experiences of what it does for your blood. But I know the political element of it.
Okay, yeah. That's so interesting. Mm. Yeah, I think when you're speaking to Cyril's grant and 350 Rand per household and how there are so many things that you have to do, naturally, I could imagine that a pad, a tampon, a menstrual cup is the last thing that anyone is willing to grab or go towards because of that. You also kind of spoke about different contraceptives a bit there. You spoke about the pill, you spoke about the patch, you spoke about the injection.
Yes.
The first contraceptive I ever did was the injection on my own accord. I was at UCT in Cape Town first year, and I was just like, oh, let me just jump ahead, you know, let me get onto this thing.
Okay.
Went to a nurse, went to a clinic, saw a nurse. She's like, okay, cool, these are your options. And I think I might be lying, but the injection has different options.
Yes.
There's one that's like 3 months, six months, something along those lines.
3 and 6. Yeah.
Cool. So I take, if I'm not mistaken, the 3 month one.
Okay, cool.
And I don't bleed. So for me, this is a party.
Sure.
I'm literally like, I'm not bleeding. Nothing is sapping me. I am not worried about that monthly anymore. But as time went on, I kind of felt that my body wanted to release.
Yes.
And it was getting kind of weird.
Yes.
And then I started bleeding, but then I would bleed all the time. And that's what actually led me to stop taking the injection. I saw my doctor and she was like, let the hormones flush out. And once we're done, we'll then see if we can put you onto something else. And I had wished so deeply at that point that I had consulted someone. I'd spoken to my mom. I'd even maybe spoken to the nurse a little bit more to be like, understand, okay, girl, what are my options? What does this mean? The water retention for me on the injection was absolutely bonkers.
Yeah.
Like, I had never experienced anything like that. And from the injection, I went to the pill.
Yes.
Which was okay. It was nice. Yeah. It was nice. I guess if you remember to take it all the time. But then I also kind of remember the phase of when you're on the pill and you don't want your period, that you start to skip. Now, what is the danger in that?
I guess it's the same suppression of like the injection in which, you know, you'll skip your period and then your next period will be, I guess, a double, you know. A friend of mine said she skipped her period last month and then she was messaging me like, my period is showing me flames.
It's finishing you.
It's finishing me. Because what we don't realize, so oftentimes when people say, so there's two distinctions to make, right?
Yes.
When people say, I'm on the cycle and I'm on my period.
Yes.
People don't realize that the menstrual cycle is the 21 to 35 days that your body's going through the different phases.
Yes.
And your period is the last or first phase of the cycle, right? And that is governed by hormones.
Okay.
Okay. So by you skipping your red pill, you're skipping a phase, which is governed by hormones. And ultimately that means that your hormones for your next period are going to be
crazy,
right? I understand why people do it though, because, you know, you're probably going on vacay, you don't want your food to be there. But I always just say this, understand that if there are things that you want to do on your period, and you're on holiday, you want to swim and you're like, my period is going to be restrictive, there are things, you can still swim on your period.
Yes.
You can get period-proof swimming costumes, right? You can use a tampon, you can use a menstrual cup. If you want to have sex on your period, you can have
sex
on
your
period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think if people feel that their period is so debilitating, right, then you need to seek medical help. Because I always say this, your period is normal, but the period symptoms that are debilitating are not.
Are not normal.
And that's really important to just understand.
Yeah.
So if you struggle to get out of bed, if you can't go to school, if you can't go to work, you're just experiencing intense symptoms, please seek medical help.
Yes.
It's not, it's going to empower you more than anything.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you're in a situation where you feel that your doctor, your gynae isn't hearing you, or if you're not feeling validated, seek other, consult with other people.
Yes, that's something that you had said to me, especially with PCOS. You were like, don't be okay with the first diagnosis you get, especially if you feel like this person is not understanding what you're saying. And I think that with PCOS, like so often your gynae will be like, oh, just jump back onto the pool.
Yes.
And I needed to see other doctors to be like, they were like, no, girl, you're not going to do that.
Yeah.
That's not normal.
Because a lot of doctors will say the pill is a solution.
And it's not.
Run the tests, right? Do the ultrasounds, run your blood work, check that everything is fine for you to finally be like, okay, maybe I should go on the pill. But oftentimes people will go on the pill as a quick silver bullet solution, but it often isn't. It isn't, right?
It's masking your other symptoms that exist.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, guys, before I let Candace go, first of all, I'm saying it here in front of her. She will be back. I just feel like it would be cool if we could do this, like, even if it's like once a year.
Sure.
But we'll have you guys be able to write in to maybe ask you their scenarios and situations.
That would be cool.
But if, you know what I'm saying? Until then, this is one of her three books, okay? This is the second one.
This is the second one.
And she bought it for me. So I'm going to read it and I'll tell you guys what I think of it and what it is that I was able to learn. But what I really like about this is that as you just look at the table of contents, there are different headings. And I promise you guys, there is a heading for a question that you have. And there's almost like a chapter explaining different aspects of that very heading that you want to know about.
100%.
So this is Candace's book today. Okay, I know she has a little bit more.
Yeah.
I will definitely leave the rest of her books in the description so you guys can go read them and check that out. But Candace, thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me.
I loved it. I learned so much. I learn from you all the time. Every time you post, every time you share, I am listening. My ears are open.
Love it.
Always.
Love it.
Please let them know where they can find you, where they can follow you, and all of that good stuff.
Minister of Menstruation.
Period.
On any socials.
Yes.
And I am a minister that does respond.
Yes.
Okay. I listen to the people.
Yes.
I give the people what they want.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Minister of Menstruation. If you want to follow Curate, it's in the bio, in my bio as well. Mm-hmm. We do incredible work of educating young people around menstrual health.
Mm-hmm.
And we also do period pain experiences for men. So
yes.
If you want that as well, hit me up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Guys, from us to you, have a lovely day. I hope that you share this podcast episode with anyone that you think believes needs to hear it. But yeah, have a great day with your little pussy.
Period.
Bye, guys.
To you by GN and Co.